Yeah, I'm just going to do it again, because it's the news, according to me. And a fine, happy Thursday morning to you this morning. It's September 1st, new month. Same microphone. It's September 1st, 2022, 7:43 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The time zone I am in. This, a lot of stuff going on. Again, including the stuff in my cup. I have a cup of chai again, but I have something different as creamer for it. I've got the regular Pacific Island chai, who is not a sponsor of this program, by the way, because there is no sponsor of this program. Nobody tells me what to say. Except for, you know, the other half tends to tell me what to say and do. The cup I have says, I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong. And in my cup, I have some creamer. Now, it's called sweet creamer. It's just sweet cream, and that's what the flavor is. That's great. Good for me. Anything sweet goes right in me. I'll have a backup cup here, too, with my peach mango V8 Fusion in there. So that's it. I'm loaded up for this show. May not be a very long show because I really only have one topic. There's only one thing really burning on my mind this morning, and it's just burning me up. Not really that really. I don't get that involved in it. I just like to vent. I like to get you involved. My job is to just tell you what I think about the news, what all the other people are saying about the news. Kind of, coagulate all that stuff together for you. Synopsize it. I don't think that's a word. Synoptize. Give you a synoptic of all the other people, what they're saying about the news. And then give you my opinion on all that stuff. So it's opinion upon opinion. And then I get you all riled up. And then I walk away. And then you're left with your... that's an interesting thing. When somebody gets offended, this really does happen. It's a strange human phenomena. If I were to, if your wife, this is typically, genders do matter in this particular thing. And in terms of generalization, of course, that's not legal anymore. You can't generalize anybody. But one of the differences in the genders is that this tends to slant one way more than the other. But if something happens to someone I care about, and they tell me this person did this to me, and that they proceed to tell me what's going on about it. Typically, because that person is unable to do anything about it, sometimes they take on that offense, and it becomes a bigger deal for them than it does the person who was offended. It's an interesting phenomena. I recently had this happen to me. A friend of mine, I was in a group of a few friends. Well, this one buddy kind of ticked off another buddy. And his method for working it out was to tell me about all the stuff that, I'm really upset with him right now, blah, 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 blah. And on and on and on in great detail. And I understand. I mean, what he told me, I get it. I'd be upset too. But you won't hear me talk about it to you. You'll hear me talk about it to him, the person who I'm upset with. Now, if he wouldn't listen or if he didn't do anything, then I might go to somebody else and say, I had a hard time dealing with this guy because... What should I do? How should I deal with this? There was somebody who had a friend of mine who was recently, in the last few years. And it was part of a group, big group of people. It was a social group that we get together like once a month. And one time he came into the meeting. We were having like a dinner type thing, and didn't want to talk to me at all. And you could just tell. I said, "Hi, so and so," and he goes, "Yeah." He kept on walking. Pretty rude, really. Pretty ridiculously rude. Like, what did I just do? Now, I have a hunch of what it might have been that he didn't like. I don't know. I'm trying to fill in blanks at this point. I have no idea. He has never told me what kind of offense I did. He's never come to me and said, you know, because that's the humble thing to do, to come to you and say, "Hey, you know, you did this and it kind of upset me." He didn't do that. I don't know that he ever told anybody else what the problem was. Now, we have mutual friends, and our mutual friends are still friends with me, and they're friends with him. And I went to one of my mutual friends and I said, "Have you heard him say anything about me? Maybe he's upset with me about something?" "No." "So, okay, well, I'll go to him directly." But really, it's the person who's offended. Look at Scripture, what it says, actually says. If your brother offends you, not if you think you've offended your brother. It says, if your brother offends you, don't come to the altar with your gifts and all your stuff. Go work it out with your brother first. Then come back to the altar. It's a very interesting concept. Now, he puts it in our hands if we've been offended as to whether or not. Here's one thing. Is it really important enough to even deal with? At that point, you're confronted with the question, is this really even something I should be dealing with? Is it something I'm just. Because you don't want to bring up every little thing that somebody does to you. Well, some people do. But do you really want to bring up all those things? "Oh, you set your pencil down. That was kind of loud, the way you set your pencil down. I don't like that. That offended me. Oh, yeah, the way you just poked your nose there with your finger. I don't like that. You're scratching your ear too loud." Whatever. It's just all these weird things. You slowed down. You didn't really stop completely at that stop sign. I mean, that's now you're just picking on the person. So it kind of confronts you with this idea of maybe I need to check myself in terms of, should I really be offended about that? Or is this just becoming about me now? At the same time, you need to go to that person and tell them what's going on. Maybe they had no idea they offended you. Maybe they had no intent to offend. Maybe they did have an intent to offend you. But something I did offended him. I don't know what it was. And I was all upset about it until I understood that Scripture. All of a sudden, it's like, you know what? No, it's his responsibility to tell me what I offended him. If he's got a problem with me, it's his problem, not mine. And he needs to tell me what the problem is, and then we can work it out. You don't just write somebody off like that, or go tell everybody else about it, hoping it gets back to them. That's not the way we work things out in our culture of ecclesia. Anyway. The thing I want to talk about this morning is, well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good chai. That's what I want to talk about. Let's just talk about my chai. Now, let's talk about the FBI. I hate to keep droning on about this. Now, realistically, I have to know, and I'm right up front, I want to tell you. I know that with a podcast that goes on the internet, and it goes on the interwebs, chances are there is probably an agent or some kind of agency that is listening to this. I could potentially become a target of law enforcement because of the things I'm saying, because I'm saying derogatory things about the FBI. It's a threat to national security. Yeah. Guy sitting in his basement talking on a microphone is a threat to national security. These people have become so self-aggrandized. Now, I'm sure that though this will be, they always talk about, well, the FBI, the men and women of the FBI work very hard every – I guess there's only two genders because that's what Christopher Wray said. He said the men and women of the FBI. There's no other genders there apparently. Of the 57 and a half genders that are out there, apparently those are the only two that work at the FBI. Or maybe they're the only ones that work hard. Maybe that's what it is. The men and women of the FBI work very hard every day to protect the American people from all kinds of threats. First of all, the FBI is not the go-to, have-everything organization that they like to think that they are. That this is the FBI never had the kind of powers that it has now. It is starting to use. It's gotten to the point where it's starting to usurp powers. Well, we have certain protocols. This is. Think about this for a second. The Trump organization requested that the FBI, that this whole case, have a special master looking over it. This investigation into Trump. Here we go again. It's out in the open now. We're investigating. We're going to tell you. Everybody knows we're investigating now. Investigation we had before, nobody knew about it. This investigation into Trump, he requests a special master to oversee everything that's going on. Well, oh, well, there's no need for that, says the FBI, because we've already gone through all the information with our special protocols. Protocols like taking staged pictures, ready for thumbnail staged picture that we're going to release to the press that they can use that has everything in the picture that we need to have in there. No, this isn't made for television. This isn't made for consumer consumption here. We're not making stuff up. Now, tell me, here's the burning question I have this morning. This is the burning question, and it's really aggravating me. I'm not hearing anybody in the media asking this question. Who is it at the FBI that has top secret information, sensitive information, super duper top secret information clearance to look at this stuff? This was a data collection. Operation that they're doing, and it's people can't see this. That's what really. And of course, the news media, of course, MSNBC, they post the thumbnail picture on all their videos now. Perfectly staged stuff on this picture. And how did it get to the press? Or is it even from the FBI? Who knows? Somebody probably made this up. It's all propaganda. The problem we've got here is that people are going through this stuff. There are more eyes on this top secret classified super duper sensitive stuff than there ever would have been if they just left the lock on. And now here's the thing. I thought the FBI was going in there to get these documents for the NARA, for NARA, the archives. What are they going through it for? Why does the FBI have to go through this information? What are they looking for? Well, we're looking for top secret classified documents. Give it to NARA. You went in there to get this stuff for NARA. Why is anyone looking at it? Give it all to NARA. Let them go through the whole thing. They apparently have protocols in place. See, here's the problem. We got more eyes on this now that are not certified or, oh, well, it's the FBI. They can do whatever they want. Oh, no, they can't. They can't just walk into a skiff and look at top secret classified documents all the time. This is baloney. It's worse than baloney. I like baloney, actually. It's not good for me, probably, but supposedly, I don't know, maybe it is. I don't know. I used to eat baloney all the time as a kid. That's why I'm full of baloney. This is the kind of stuff that nobody's asking these questions. Now we got people like Ann Coulter coming out. Oh, Trump is done. Trump is done. Fox News. Brett Baer has been on this for a while. They want to see Trump go away. They want the days of Trump to be gone because they think, well, he's such a polarizing figure. No, who's doing the polarizing? Who's doing the polarization happens when the left gets a hold of anybody with an R behind their name. You become a monster. You become a R stand for them. R stands for racist. The FBI is completely out of control. They are obviously a weapon for the left, or for the establishment, I should say. If you're not playing the game, this whole thing about the Hunter Biden laptop, for example, this is another issue with the FBI that we've got right now, that nobody's asking the questions. Very few people are putting it together. Mark Levin is probably one of the few people, and Robert Gouveia, it puts it together pretty well. The FBI had Hunter's laptop a year before the election. Hey, we just want to warn you that the FBI, or that the Russians are going to, but there's another dump about to come out from the FBI. This is the news from the FBI. The Russia is about to have another dump. And you might want to be on alert for that. So Jeff Zuckerberg gets real comfortable with Joe Rogan and accidentally starts. You can tell when he starts getting into this, what he's talking about. He starts getting nervous about what he's saying. I picked this up in his voice. Well, the FBI came to us, and then he realizes I'm probably going someplace I shouldn't go here. So I need to be very careful. His voice starts to get a lot less, or I should say a lot more stressed, a lot less confident, and he's not sure how he's going to say all this now that he's opened his mouth. Joe's kind of sitting there going, oh, so how much did you throttle it back? Oh, right off the top of my head, I don't know. You can't give us a general idea, Jeff. You own the company and you can't tell me what kind of throttling you did. We don't need to know by the fourth decimal point. We just need to know, is it 20%, 60%, 80%? Generally? Well, I don't know. That's why we hire a third party, because we don't want to do any fact checking. We have third party fact checkers. Oh, we happen to own the third-party fact-checking company. They're good buddies of mine. We have dinner every night. Right. Third-party fact-checking group that probably is actually owned by started by the CIA, probably. I don't know. Who knows? It's so much. You know what the word is. It's crapola. That's what it is. It's Italian for, well. This is what aggravates me this morning. So now you know. I had to get this off my chest. Because we should be able to trust the FBI, the DOJ. There should be blind justice. They keep screaming at us, no one is above the law. No one is above the law. Not even the president. How about the Secretary of State? How about the First Lady? How about former presidents who've also done things? Worse things. Well, we've already gone through all the information, so there's no need for a special master. Too late. We've already got our eyes on all this stuff. I have a feeling, you know, that the Democrats know that they're, just because of the economy, they were in for a shellacking this fall. they're probably going to have a hard time with this election. Now, I'm really kind of surprised at Alaska. See, when you have these special elections, they can pour all of their resources into one particular election. Most times they are unable to do this. The whole thing with Beto O'Rourke, I think he was running against Ted Cruz down in Texas. It was a tough race. You had people coming from all over the country, pouring money and time and effort and endorsements and everything else on Beto. Can you imagine if he was sitting in the Senate today? And this guy, he lost. Now, I know that there were a lot of shenanigans pulled in Alaska. And Sarah Palin lost, apparently. I don't know by how much. I haven't heard what the numbers were. But I guarantee you that there was a lot of money being dumped into that race because she's been publicly supportive of Trump. When Trump came to Alaska recently, she was right there standing beside him. And this is a big deal. Now, Palin lost a lot of credibility. Didn't they do a reality show or something? Doing something weird. Maybe the news made him out to be a reality show. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. Whole lot of things going on. She's lost a lot of her street cred because she tried to become a pop star type person. When she was first brought on to the McCain campaign and as the VP, and she gave that speech at the RNC, her popularity was at the top of her game at that time. That's one of the best speeches I've heard in the RNC for a long time. It was really good. Well, I think the problem was she was overshadowing McCain. And all of a sudden they were like, she needs to tamp it down a little bit. We need to get her as the sideline, the sideshow, not a true leader. If McCain would have been a true leader and not a... Anyway, I hate labeling people sometimes. I know the personality type. I know exactly what he's like. And because they had to make it about McCain. This is about McCain. It's not about Palin. So they pulled her ears back a little bit. And I think from that moment on, she was marginalized. And I think that she reacted to that. It had a detrimental effect, I think, on her ability to move forward. And of course, with the news media and everything else that was going on, it's just they're all, playing it all up. However, having said that, it surprises me that she lost. Now, I think like 54 out of the 57 Trump-endorsed candidates in the primaries. It's some ridiculous number. Won the primaries. We'll see. So we'll see how this goes. But it's not going to be good for the Democrats this fall. And they know it. Now, that alone was going to make them desperate. And desperate people do desperate things. Now, very clearly, very, very, there's all this rhetoric right now about gun control. Why did this all of a sudden come up again? There wasn't a shooting again. But now all of a sudden we got gun control is in the news again. And gun control, the president had to make a big speech about it. AR-15 is one of the most deadly, it's a weapon of war. You don't need a weapon of war, blah, 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 blah. By the way, if you want to go up against my good friends, Republican friends that believe in the Second Amendment, they think that you should have a gun because you're going to keep a tyrannical government away from you. Well, if you're going to go against the government, you need an F-15. Okay. Well, Good point was made by Casey Hendricks yesterday. Casey Hendrickson. Oh, yeah. He made the point that I was trying to make yesterday. I wasn't very articulate with it. The people of Ukraine don't have any F-15s. In fact, they have no Air Force right now, I don't think. The people of Afghanistan didn't have F-15s. Now they probably do. Probably left a few of them there for them. You see, we can fight back, and we're not even talking about guns at this point. We're a long way from taking up arms. However, I have to say this: if the Civil War breaks out again, and I've said this yesterday, it's not going to be like it was the first time. It's not going to be this North against the South, lines drawn in the sand kind of thing. It's going to be very different. We have an ideological war right now going on. Ideological, whatever it is. It's a war of ideology. And in the midst of this, we have some very powerful individuals, power people at the top, who are running very powerful institutions. And then we have the, quote, private sector that's running utilities that we use to communicate with each other, all of which are underhandedly, very covertly influencing. Look, how much we never heard from the Mueller report, and I always wanted to. I wish I was a reporter sometimes. I would ask some of these questions. Oh, emphatically, we were told over and over again, yes, we determined absolutely that the Russians tried to affect the election. Or that they affected the election. Actually, I don't think they said it definitively. I think they said they tried to. They're very careful with their words. This has all the earmarks of Russian propaganda. They didn't say it was Russian propaganda. They said it has all the earmarks. Whatever earmarks are. I don't have any marks on my ears. Do you guys have earmarks? What kind of marks do you have on your ear? Because I don't have any. I'm just kind of wondering, kind of curious about that. It has all the earmarks. I'm pretty sure it has to do with pigs. Because they usually brand pigs on the ear. I think they put little marks on their ears, tags on their ears, animals, stock, chattel. The earmarks of Russian disinformation. The FBI had that laptop. See, the problem is, this isn't even about Hunter Biden. It really isn't about Hunter Biden. His emails incriminate Joe Biden. That's the real problem. I don't care what Hunter Biden did. He should be arrested. He should be thrown in jail for what he did. He's obviously committed crimes on video. No one's above the law. Save it, would you? Just stuff it in your pie hole. Just close it. No one's above the law, not even the president, but the president's son is, apparently. Can you imagine if that was one of Trump's kids? We've gone over this before, but then again, the double standard thing, it's lost on them. They don't care about the double standard because the end does, end justifies the means. That's all it is. And all that matters to me really is my chai. So we've lost the nation. We have I had a point there. I was going someplace and I got distracted by my chai. The problem that we end up with this whole Hunter Biden thing, is that Joe was involved. How much of an investigation did the FBI do to find out if those emails and all the money that was being changed hands and going all over the place, how much investigation did they do to find out that that was real or not? I doubt if they apparently didn't do any. Well, they probably did some because they wanted to actually, hey, this is good stuff. We need to hold on to this because when he's president, we can use this to, you know, to manipulate him. That's the way we're operating now, apparently. We're a data collection agency, and we can use that data against other people. Now, as I was saying at the beginning of the program here, I have no doubt that it's very possible that a three-letter organization, three-letter entity, a three-letter agency of the government could be listening to my podcast. It's probably going through some kind of digital filter, being flagged. I mean, big tech has this stuff. You can literally do a live program and the speech to text data pops up. They can do closed captioning live on YouTube. I think on Facebook as well. If they can do that, they're listening to every word, and there are certain words that trigger things, trigger investigations. I know that people can be, of course, then they can be throttled in terms of how much outreach there is. Well, we don't like the way. Remember when yesterday I read the definition of fascism, and maybe I should go over this again. This is from Wikipedia, so. You know, take it with a grain of salt. But this is the fascist thing. The very first word, look it up on Wikipedia, fascism. Just put in fascism in Wikipedia and see what you come up with. The very first statement is a definitive statement not based on any data or facts or anything else. They just say, fascism is a far-right, authoritarian, ultranational political ideology and movement. That's more than a mouthful right there. But within the first few words, far right has to be in there. So they have to put that out there. It's not us. It's not us. It's a far right thing. It's over there. It's far right. The more radically right people get, the more conservative they are, the more fascist they are. That's why we call it Antifa. It's anti-fascist. It's anti-far right. So let's see what kind of things the Antifa does, and how they're associated with the government, and what the government says about Antifa, and then we'll talk about the far right. It is characterized by a dictatorial leader, centralized autocracy, and militarism. Oh. Okay. Forcible suppression of opposition. Who's being oppressed? By force. I should say suppressed. What kind of suppression are we experiencing? Or what kind of suppression are we dishing out over here from the far right? It goes on to say, belief in a natural social hierarchy. Mr. Reagan, I think his name is Chris, has a YouTube channel. He did a really good little thing about this morning about how those in the upper echelon think that they're so smart they really don't need God. They're not answerable to anybody else, that they believe that they are God. They've risen to the hierarchy. Because of they've been endowed from on high to walk the hallowed halls of the temple of democracy. When you hear them use words like, when you hear Nancy Pelosi use words like temple of democracy, our hallowed walls, these, whatever. Subordination of individual interests, for the perceived good of the nation and race. Subordination of your individual interests, I should say rights, for the perceived good of the nation and race. Put a mask on. Take that vaccine for the good of the nation. You got to say this statement. You got to say this phrase for the good of the race. A strong regimentation of society. A strong regimentation of society. And the economy. In other words, control of society and the economy. They want to take your guns away because they're afraid of them. Not because of crime. They don't care about crime. They want to defund the police. Leave you on your own. With no guns. So guns are, on one hand, to protect yourself. First and foremost. Because you have a right to your property and possessions. It's a God-given right. Animals have it. To protect themselves. And it goes on to say later on, it says, fascism is placed on the far right wing within the traditional left-right spectrum. Now, they get into this whole thing. Fascism also had adherents outside of Europe opposed to anarchism, democracy, pluralism, liberalism, socialism, and Marxism. Fascism is placed on the far right wing within the traditional left-wing spectrum. This the way they're putting this paragraph together, there is such an undercurrent of underlying ideology. I doubt that they can even see, I doubt they even realize that they are the fascists themselves. Did the fascists of their time know that they were the fascists? When you see the people with no, absolutely no self-awareness whatsoever, and Joe Biden comes out and says, you don't need an AR-15, it's a weapon of war, it's the most powerful, lethal rifle out there, it's terrible, it's just this horrible thing, we got to ban it. It's so terrible, we got to ban that thing. Because people are using it to, you know, knock off 7-Elevens and stuff. No, no, that's not what they're using, Joe. Long guns, in fact, are hardly ever used in crimes compared to handguns. Which is why Canada decided to ban the sale, transfer, or manufacture. I don't think you can even import them anymore. Handguns. Which is, of course, a strong regimentation of society. A subordination of individual interests for the perceived good of the nation. Forcible suppression of opposition. Centralized autocracy. I'm sorry, I just cut back to reading the fascism definition again. You can't protest with your trucks in the street. Forcible suppression of opposition. But it's a far right wing. It's not us. We're not the ones. Oh, yeah, we might be doing all this stuff, but we're not the ones. We're not, because it says right there, far right wing. They're not right wing. So it can't be us. We can't be fascists because we're on the left wing. We're far left wing. So that's where we are today. And now we have an organization, a three-letter agency that I'm sure has the ability to filter everything I'm saying and probably going on some kind of record. And there's been some interesting things happening with the security cameras at my home and my other property, by the way, since I've been talking out against the FBI. And I'm just got a tinfoil hat on. Maybe I should put my tinfoil hat on. And I don't know. I wonder if any of this is related. Could be. I don't know. I'm not getting paranoid about it. I don't care. This is the world in which we live, and I'm sure that many other people have gone through a lot worse. Because at the end of the day, see, this is, there was a scripture that I just heard it the other day, and it was, boy, it's very, I don't remember what it is. I'll have to look it up. It talks about the end of the day when, you know, everything's going to be, basically everything's going to be made right. All the proud people will melt like wax. It's kind of one of those. I'm kind of paraphrasing the whole thing, but basically, in the end, there will be justice, and all this baloney, if you want to call it that. Nobody's gonna. You know, the last God's gonna have the final word. Let's just put it that way. And nobody's gonna argue. It's just gonna be done. All those who, you know, if I'm to be vindicated, it will be by him, period. I don't need to vindicate anything here. Because it's, they're going to reap their own reward at the end of this whole thing. I tremble. Sometimes I think about the things that people on the left say, things that they do. People on the right. People in general. Things they say and do, and without any regard to facing one day themselves, really. Because when you stand before God, you're going to be undone. You're going to realize your uncleanliness. And I believe there's going to be justice at that time. All the wrongs are going to be made right. And it's going to be really, really bad for some people. And I'm concerned for them. I really am. Now, made your choice, as we all do. Let's move on. We have that's interesting. Hispanics are pushing back on Latinx weirdness. They don't like the woke stuff either. They're being told how they have to call themselves, what they have to call themselves now, because from left-wing liberals who are, of course, I could, you know, there's all kinds of places here I could read the definition again of fascism, because, you know, Ron DeSantis is about to cut taxes for the entire state of Florida. People are saying that Trump is done. Trump is not done. It's weird. It's this whole thing with Ann Coulter saying that. It's just bizarre. IRS is becoming surveillance agency like the NSA. This is another problem. These three-letter organizations once they get power, they get more power. Now, they're going to double the size of their agency in terms of agents, field agents. Tens of thousands more. And billions of dollars in their budget now. That was in the Inflation Fighting Act that we did. Because the IRS is going to fight inflation for us by collecting taxes. But we're going to forgive student loans. Because we've got the beast. Because, you know, I don't know. So we have this new organization now, the IRS, which if it's weaponized, folks, Remember Lois Lerner in charge of the IRS during the Obama years? Remember the way they went after all the conservative and evangelical organizations during the time she was there? She was called before Congress with this. Nothing ever happened. Of course, nothing ever happens. They just get called before Congress and then nothing ever happens to them. But one of her sidekicks, her right wing, her right, I should say, her right arm, her main amigo, I think she had to leave the organization, I believe. Well, she's been rehired. Never fear. I can't remember her name right now. She'd been rehired now to be in charge of all these new agents. Oh, that's great. Because she was so good the first time. She was so fair and balanced and blind to political things. So we're going to put her back in there now to be in charge of this billion-dollar budget, multi-billion-dollar budget, 86,000-person organization. Sounds like a great plan for them. As I said, the elections are coming. They have no intention of losing the House or the Senate, according to Nancy.
We have no intention of losing the House. Or the Senate.
Of course you don't intend on it. And I bet you'll do anything you can to keep your ugly little claws on it. The grip of power. Because that's all that matters to you. She said she was going to retire after Hillary was president. She was never going to retire. It's not a part of who she is. She's going to be there till the day she dies.
Because she has to run for the children. For the children. It's all for the children. The children. The children. The children, the children, the children.
So when she was asked why she's running again.
The children, the children, the children.
It's like, what is that? What kind of platform is that? Oh, she cares about the children so much. We have to elect her again. Unbelievable. There's a lady, I think, in New York, Yonkers, whatever it is. She's running against AOC. You know, I appreciate her moxie. I appreciate her forthrightness, her in-your-face mentality kind of. I appreciate all that. I hope she doesn't win. I really wish they could find somebody else. I don't, just the cussing, the swearing, the F word, every other word. We really need somebody else. I mean, she behaves herself when she's on television, but there's been some video out. She posted some stuff on YouTube. It's just stupid. That's all I'm going to say. And of course, the left-wing media is making fun of her, when the right-wing media makes fun of AOC. But this lady kind of makes AOC look actually statesmanlike. AOC is just a bumbling, airhead. This lady's just, I don't know. Nothing about policy. Just, we're going to come after you. We're going to come get you. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever. The American people need to see. The amazing thing, I think it was Joe Rogan that actually said this the other day. This guy was on there talking about what was going on with the Hunter Biden thing and all this stuff. And he's like, he's talking about the shots. And he said, what are you going to do about it? He said, well, vote Republican. I think it was Joe Rogan that actually said, vote Republican. This is somebody who was supporting Bernie Sanders. Now, the Joe Rogan experience, the whole thing is a very interesting, if you look at Joe himself and his progression from being just a curious individual who's willing to ask anybody any questions. He's a very good interviewer, by the way. He's very good at it. On his turf. It becomes very interesting when he's the one being interviewed. But I think Lex Fridman did an interview with him, and it was very interesting. But in general, Joe is processing all this stuff, and he's kind of an open book in terms of, here's my life journey, here's what I'm discovering about people in life and everything else. There's a little fellow, he's bigger than I am. I remember him, I call him little fellow because he's one of my best friend's sons. He's his oldest son, and he's huge now. He's like 10 feet tall. But anyway, it's like a whole head taller than me, I think. He's ridiculous. It's just, there should be a law. Anyway, he has his own podcast now. I think he's got about 50 episodes. Now he's in his 20s. He's now grown up, obviously. And he does some podcasts. Well, he did a podcast where he interviewed another friend of mine, actually. And I've never been on his podcast. I don't even know if he knows I have a podcast. I don't think he listens to my podcast. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. But he was doing this podcast, and it's interesting. He's doing the kind of a Joe Rogan type thing. And he has a couple different podcasts. One of them talks about more about faith issues, and the other one talks about more just general, like people in the community type stuff. He interviews politicians and different things. But you know, you see people like this, and Joe is processing through life. He's processing all this stuff. And typically, if people are willing to get to the truth and you see where they've been taken, they've been, at some point, the rug's been pulled out from under them by the people, the people who he trusts, all these people who say great things, make great promises, and then realize, yeah, they're letting me down. People are letting me down. Over and over, these people let me down. These politicians let me down. I thought, because if you put your faith in a politician, I got news for you. They're going to let you down. So he does all this, and for the world to see, I've seen this happen to other people. H.A. Goodman was a good example of this. He was a huge Bernie supporter. And ended up being one of the biggest Trump supporters I've ever seen. Because he got burned by Bernie, believe it or not. Feel the burn there, buddy. But through the whole process, all he cared about was getting to the truth. Jimmy Dore is another one of these individuals that I think is rapidly finding his way to, he obviously doesn't like the establishment, but he's more of a collectivist than he realizes. But he's kind of waking up from this collectivist mentality thing because he's processing through the process. And this is just like Joe Rogan and all these other people are going through this process of discovering what the real truth is in the bottom of all this stuff. And you realize at the end of the day that the founders had it in spades. They knew what was going on. They understood the power struggles that are there, the underlying problem of people in power, and realized people need to be in charge of their own lives and responsible for their own lives. In other words, you have the right to rule your own life. You also suffer the consequences of that ruling. In other words, if you take away someone else's rights, consequences will befall you. Well, now we have people in leadership of this country who don't see it that way at all. They see it as they are the ones who give you your rights. And we'll tell you when we can take them away. And we're going to intrude on those rights through regulation and taxation. Yeah, you have the right to that, but we're going to tax it. And we're going to also going to, even though you got the right to it, we're going to go ahead and take it away from you and sell you this permit here. I'm going to give you this, you got to have this permit in order to do that. Oh, you want to be able to have a freedom of assembly? Well, you got to have a permit to assemble. Sorry. Got to file some paperwork before you can assemble. No, we're not taking your right away. You just have to fill out this paperwork first. We want to know everything about you, who you are, what you're doing. You got to give up all of your personal information in order to freely assemble. And then you can only do it for this hour, from this hour to this hour, and you have to do it in that particular place. You can't go anywhere else. Oh, okay, that's not authoritarianism. That's not suppression of opposition. Interesting. So anyway, I digress. This has been a long show. Almost an hour. I'm not going to go over an hour today. I got other things I got to get to. Because we're leaving tomorrow on the boat. I'll be gone for a few days. Heading to Chi-Town. Should be fun. Should be a fun trip. Hopefully everything works. That's the big issue. No major issues with the boat. That's what we want. So, we're fast approaching the weekend. I should have a show tomorrow morning, possibly. It may turn into a busy day. I don't think the morning will be terribly crazy, so I'm hoping I can have a show tomorrow, at least a short one, at least 30 minutes. In the meantime, folks, have a great day. Pray for the FBI. Pray for our leaders. Pray for each other. God bless everybody.